You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 11 October. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Petri Redenhuis, I want to touch implants, BHP, both looking strong, implants perhaps more so. Stephen Joffe from Invicta, they've made an acquisition. They're moving into communications, renewable energy. I want to dig a bit into that, and are there more acquisitions? Nerina Fisser from ETFSA, Satrix is buying the ABSI ETFs, not the ETNs, not the commodities. Now there's some issues there, some rebranding perhaps, maybe some ETFs to be merged or even perhaps folded, closed. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. SANRAL's total liabilities top $140 billion. Accumulated loss at year-end hits $14.5 billion. And Business Day, BNP Paribas expects Rand to reach 14.25 by year-end. And current account surplus to surge in commodity prices is behind that bullish outlook. We certainly got PGMs looking strong again this morning, so that could lead to that story. If PGMs boom, the Rand will be stronger. Morning markets. US was red on Friday, S&P off 0.2, NASDAQ off 0.5%. Asia's mixed with Sydney also down 0.5%, but Tokyo strong, up 1.6. Commodities mixed overnight. Gold 15.57, Brent 83.54, but we've seen the PGMs looking fairly good. Palladium 20.80 and platinum 10.27. Rhodium holding pretty much where it was at about 13.5. Top 40 opening call, about 50 points higher. That's a little under 0.1%. That's as Tencent is up 3% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Petri Redenhuis, founder at Herenia Capital Advisors. Petri, appreciate the morning time. I mentioned there the PGMs, and certainly some are holding, some are rhodium not yet breaking, but seems to have stopped falling. But implants kind of getting ahead of it. We saw some massive moves Thursday, Friday, and implants was certainly one of them and on your bullish list.
Yeah, good morning. So I think what also to look at, well, you know, as part of that whole PGM thing, rhodium has obviously been very topical lately. Mm-hmm. But Thursday, Friday, we saw a very, very big move in palladium as well. Mm. So palladium and platinum in particular, palladium was the biggest mover of the bunch. Rhodium is doing 13% days and that kind of stuff. It's very volatile, right? But Thursday, Friday, we also saw a very strong push in palladium, and that I think was very much one of the ingredients to the rocket fuel that drove the PGMs last week. And I sort of expected to be no different this week, to tell you the truth. Most of these PGMs, as you rattled them off now, are looking very bullish, right? Mm-hmm. So some strong moves there, and I think that that's probably going to be another big theme for this week going ahead. I think what traders should be, you know, at least aware of is that some of these stocks have run really hard last week. Going in blindly and just chasing them is potentially dangerous. So, you know, rather wait for a setup. If you haven't managed to buy some off the support yet last week, perhaps it's better to take a smaller position now. You know, if the thing is going to move 10%, you're still going to make money, as much. You don't want to be buying more than you usually would in a circumstance where it's already up 10%, and what if this thing turns around? So I think managing risk is important from this at this point.
And the other one you were looking at was BHP Group, which is, you said, looking interesting and sort of maybe start accumulating, because it moved a bit, but of course it's not a PGM player. It's an energy and iron ore.
Yeah, so iron ore has also been doing relatively well. I think what's happening is we're seeing that reflation trade starting to take place. And I also think that we're starting to see a bit of a rotation out. And this has been happening for some time. But I think that the rotation out of technology and into energy is something that's going to become sort of a major market theme over the next 6 to 12 months. BHP Billiton is well positioned for something like that. If we see a return to production demand or production capacity and demand for, you know, natural, you know, goods and services kind of thing, the chip shortage turns out might not be as bad as expected. So vehicle manufacturing might pick up again, and it's going to be good for iron ore, right? Mm-hmm. The oil exposure that that BHP Billiton has is also going to work in its favor. As you mentioned, oil at above 83, that's definitely going to help, right? So BHP does have a bit of a resistance level it needs to get through. Once above that, it starts to look like there's clear skies ahead, right? So I think the recommendation that we made on the trade idea this morning, well, at least on the blog, was that we should do start with the smallish kind of position, maybe half size, and then as the trade starts to work, you can potentially add into it.
Quick last one, Bitcoin. A nice, it formed a really, really nice base at around the $35,000. I mean, that obviously we're looking, 30 to 35. But it had a good week last week. Looking, frankly, at those highs at what, around 65 or so, and then onwards and upwards, if it can break.
If it can break, eh? I made a very brave call a long time ago for a very, very high Bitcoin price. I'm a bit scared to say the price now because it's got to like double twice from here. But yeah, I mean, let's see if this pattern holds, right? So this entire thesis is really based on a four-year pattern that Bitcoin has been repeating for some time. And it seems as though we're on track for it to repeat for the fourth time now, which would be quite interesting. And it's like a four-year sort of pattern. In the last quarter of the fourth year, which is, exactly where we are now, theoretically, we're supposed to rally like crazy. So, again, pinch of salt, maybe, and be careful. Don't bet the farm. But I remain hopeful and vigilant. I think if we can take out 65, it'll be interesting.
Yep, and to the point. I mean, it isn't enough to double twice. It can just can just double once, and we'll all be as happy as Hades. Peter Redenhurst, Herenia Capital Advisors, appreciate your time this morning. Our poll, which we are asking on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles, trading there with Peter, commodities certainly had a great end of last week. Are you looking to buy the miners? You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Stephen Joffe, CEO of Invicta. Stephen, appreciate the time this morning. A deal that you announced late last week around the dot-com group. It's $500 million, of which $50 million will be cash, rest in shares, and then $64 million cash for the cost of the property. When we chatted around results, I suppose it was about 3 months back, I suppose, your balance sheet was strong, you had got rid of debt, you were paying dividends, and certainly deals were on the table. Dotcom is the first. Tell us a bit about Dotcom. They're in communications. They're moving into renewable energy.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a very exciting sectors that they deal with. They deal with the installation of fiber and telecommunications. Then they've moved into provision of batteries for the telcos, and they've done that successfully for many years. And then learning from the batteries, they've gone into and moving strongly into the provision of solar installations. So it's been all forward-looking industries and all things that Invicta will be excited to enter.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, in some senses, it's a bit of a change from Invicta in that, you talk around, you've very much been an industrial sort of South African group. This is a shift. I mean, is it still South Africa? But very much, as you say, this is the future in a sense where it's comms, it's fiber, it's going to be renewables.
Yeah, we look at the space that Dotcom operate in, and we think there's tremendous growth for the next, I would say at least 10 years. And when I think of the African continent, probably even close to 20 years. And that's really, really exciting to be in spaces where you've really got this inbuilt growth.
Is it an easy fit within the Invicta Group? I mean, you've obviously already got distributions, customers and clients. Is this going to be an easy sort of plug-in, or is there going to be a bit of tweaking required?
No, I think this is a good fit. It's a good fit at management level. It's a good fit at executive level. And as you say, I think a lot of our clients could benefit from what Dotcom does. And, you know, we would be very happy to introduce Dotcom to many of our clients.
I hadn't even thought of that. Of course, existing clients who perhaps can become customers of this at the same time. I imagine there's Competition Commission approval. Beyond that, it should be a fairly simple process. How long do you expect this to take?
Well, we'd hope to close this transaction towards the end of the year. We have no investments at the moment in the telco, mm-hmm. telecom, or solar space. So we don't think it should be too, you know, contentious at the Competition Commission. But, you know, let's hope that by the end of our financial year, this is all done and dusted.
Okay. More deals? I mean, is this it for now? Do you spend some time bedding this down? Or if opportunity arises, are you on the lookout for perhaps something in similar or allied or perhaps different industries?
Simon, we'll always be on the lookout. You know, I think we're an entrepreneurial group. We clearly, this is a big acquisition for us, and we're mm-hmm. going to have to bed it down and bed it down properly and well. But if the right thing comes across our desk, I mean, I'm sure we'll have a good look at it.
Is your sense, I mean, you say you're entrepreneurial, and that has sort of been the core of Invicta for absolute ages. Is your sense that there are perhaps opportunities out there? There are perhaps companies that are under pressure and need a sort of a larger parent company, or perhaps are just struggling and you can bring some efficiencies. Is there a lot out there?
There is certainly a lot of deal flow. I mean, you know, it's hard to remember exact numbers, but if I go through my computer and analyze how many deals we've turned down this year, it would be over probably, you know, at least over 50 companies. Wow. I would estimate.
Yowza. Okay, that is a giant number. That's Stephen Joffe, Invicta CEO on the acquisition.com. Stephen, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nerina Fisser from ETFSA. Nerina, morning. Appreciate the early morning time. A huge deal last week, Sanlam Investment Holdings buying the Absa's investment businesses. Lots of talk around it. Perhaps buried a little bit deeper in the statement, which got less attention. This includes Satrix taking over a fair bunch of the Absa ETFs, not their ETNs, not their commodities. I suppose first question, as a holder of an In fact, I hold the Momentum Absa ETF. I mean, this shouldn't be stressful. This should just be a fairly simple process, which we're expected to conclude sometime around second quarter of next year.
Correct. Good morning, Simon. Yes, it's certainly not stressful for the investor. I think quite a bit of work are required for Satrix in particular, as taking this over. Lots of regulatory hurdles and hoops to jump through. So I think the team is going to be quite busy between now and the second quarter. But yes, for the investor, really, there should be nothing to be concerned about. You mentioned the Momentum ETF. Mm-hmm. It obviously depends which specific ETF you're in. Well, not what the investor is in, but the specific ETF will depend on what will Satrix do with it. How will they convert this? How will they, you know, are they going to keep it? Are they going to close it down? Are they going to change it? So there's quite a mixed bag when you look at the 15 ETFs that we are that's part of this transaction. And yes, I think we're going to see some different strategies around different of these ETFs.
There's some overlap. I mean, the Momentum, they both have a Momentum. I'm the nerd here, and I preferred the Absa methodology, but that's a duplication. Mm. And in that case, the Absa one is way bigger. There's also local government bonds. There's inflation bonds.
Yes.
Could we see some merging?
So Simon, let's just think about the regulatory aspect of this. If you make any change to a unit trust, a collective investment scheme, and these ETFs are all CISs, that these very few changes that can be made without approval by the investors, so balloting process, just about the only thing you can change without approval would be a name change. So if it is just a straight conversion or a renaming of an existing one that APSA has, that Satrix then rebrands, no problem with that. But the minute you want to merge, the minute you want to change the underlying index, the minute you want to change anything in terms of the methodology around those indices, that all requires balloting. And that's why I'm saying that certainly the Satrix team is going to be very busy. You mentioned the Momentum one, but the Govy one, the government bond one, is I think a really interesting one, because that's by far the biggest of the APSA ETFs being taken over at just under 3 billion assets under management. That's more than half of this transaction, because this transaction is less than 5 billion rand that we're talking about. But that government bond one is the big one, and one which is being used a lot. So in the case of the APSA one and the Satrix one, yes, those two offer you exactly the same at the moment. So it would make sense to merge them. But it's not just a case of let's merge and let's get on with it. It is going to require a balloting process.
Okay, so there will be some process and some voting, and that can get, it's not a difficult process, but in the past sometimes it's a bit slow because of regulation.
Yeah.
From an investor perspective, you know, as you mentioned, not a problem. But from an industry perspective, it's sad to see a player exit. APSA's keeping New Gold, they're keeping their commodities, their ETNs, they've got those currency ones as well, the New Wave. But sad to see an issuer, in a sense, exiting.
Yes, certainly sad, but I think, you know, this sort of consolidation, I think, often is good, although one doesn't normally expect to see this type of consolidation amongst the two largest players. APSA, for a very long time, because of those commodity ETFs, were the largest ETF issuer. Satrix, of course, being sort of the most prolific and the longest standing one. Signia also right up there in the mix. But we did see earlier this year that Satrix overtook both Signia and APSA to now be solidly the largest one. And this deal, this transaction, clearly will put them very, very much in the lead as far as that is concerned. But, you know, at the end of the day, the APSA ETFs have always been dominated by those commodity ones. Almost 25 billion rand, and that's quite a bit less at the moment than it used to be, but for those commodity ETFs. So the 5 billion for these 15 equity and bond-based ETFs, a lot smaller. And actually, very little overlap between Satrix and APSA.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I don't think we're going to be losing all that much. And I do think that because this transaction for APSA has been a long time coming, you just haven't really seen much activity from the APSA ETF team around marketing these, promoting these, you know, maybe looking at some of the methodology and so on. And so from that perspective, I think it's a great development. I mean, if one of the ones that I think is going to be really interesting to see what they do with it are those two MAPS ETFs, only multi-asset balanced fund ETFs that we've got. Satrix is a huge player in the multi-asset index tracking space in South Africa. Great vehicles for them to actually translate some of that balanced fund assets that they manage into an ETF form, and something which I think is really missing within the ETF space. So just that alone, I think, is going to be very interesting and provide a positive contribution to the ETF industry in South Africa.
Now, you make a great point. And those MAPS, the MAPS Protect, the MAPS Growth are great. They've got equity and they've got some cash and some bonds in there in the same time. And I take your point. I mean, in essence, we left with APSA. They kind of become the commodity specialist house. We'll leave it there. Nerina Fiss, ETFSA, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. The poll we were asking you on Friday, we'd been chatting with Mohamed Nala around that UK-EU energy crisis. And we asked on our LinkedIn and Twitter, how worried should people be? Half of you said, bad. It is rough out there. A quarter said we'll be fine, and almost a quarter said no, it's not a problem, don't stress it at all, nothing to worry about. But certainly the majority of you saying it's looking rough. We need to keep an eye on it. It could lead to some significant inflation. Mohamed Nala mentioned that horrible word, stagflation. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.